ESPN.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time, but even Jason has to wait because Brian Bulaga has a partner.
I do. ESPN fans, want to talk to you about my friends at Surfside. Obviously, down in Florida, I'm on the golf course quite a bit. It's one of my hobbies. But when it's time to reach for a cold beverage, it's always going to be a Surfside iced tea and lemonade plus vodka. That's right. It is golf season in Wisconsin. Driving through colder today, seeing all the courses. It's got me feeling some type of way. But there's no better drink to enjoy out on the course. It's light, refreshing, and made with real vodka. Surfside tea tastes cleaner than all those other drinks. It doesn't have that sugary taste and leave that feeling all over your teeth. You know what I'm talking about. Plus, there's a variety of great flavors. My favorite, the John Daly, half tea, half lemonade, strawberry lemonade, peach tea, and so many more. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so you won't be feeling full and bloated after only 2 drinks. Cheers to hitting the fairway. Cheers to Surfside. It's tea time. Must be 21 years or older. Please drink responsibly.
And now, the great segment, Pillow Please. Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga. Doc, take it away.
It is great to be in person with Jason because it never happens, so it's, like, fantastic.
Seriously, when is – like, you've been with us now for quite a while. You've filled in for Lord knows how many shows that Tausch didn't come on because he was off that day.
Yep.
You join us every Wednesday. And through the magic of video, I still see you. But have I seen you in person since you left in free agency?
The tailgate tour.
That was it.
That was
when you went on the tailgate tour. Because even when you came to talk to the team.
Yeah, you were out of town.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, you were out of town. So, yeah.
God, it's great to see
you. Yeah, it's been since the tailgate tour.
It's been a while since I've seen Homer in person, too, but it's not as exciting.
It shouldn't be.
So, Jason.
In the food chain, he's way above me.
Well, at least you know your place.
I do.
So what do you think of the atmosphere now that it's the day? I know you were here yesterday and you were kind of – you said it was a little bit tame.
I was nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, Domofsky was worried from the very start that we might look foolish here in Green Bay. And I do have a sensitivity about the big city folks, you know, who kind of look down their nose on Green Bay. And look, we have our shortcomings as a community. We also have some really great qualities, including it takes me 15 minutes to go absolutely everywhere, no matter where I am.
Which is amazing.
Everything's like 15 minutes away.
It's a small place.
Which I love about
right.
Green
and
Bay.
Right, and so when I came here on Monday for Goody, I guess I thought, I don't know why, because it's not like there's anything really going on, but I thought there'd be people milling about who came into town for the draft. And then when I was here yesterday, and it was like they were running the two-minute drill to get set up. Like, there were still construction teams putting stuff up and NFL people scampering all around. And there were no fans. There were very few fans.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I came this morning to do our show. And there weren't really many people milling about.
Very few fans at 1 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, and now as I look, and you know, obviously we did something with Matt LaFleur. You guys did your Pit Boss event with Tausch and with Tucker Kraft. And we were causing bottlenecks because people were stopping to see Blue and to see Tucker and, I guess, to see Tausch, too.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, I take a deep
By
breath.
The way,
and now
Blue
we look
got,
like
Blue got screwed in that event. We've had
wait,
an investigation.
Wait, you didn't lose,
did I
you?
Lost. I got out cheered. That's how I got. That's how I lost. I got out cheered.
Yeah, that's
Tausch nearly had the fire department.
I saw the
flame.
And by the way, I know we all think very highly of Gabe Neitzel. I have a very high opinion of him as a teammate, as a person, as a play-by-play guy.
He works more than you.
Which is hard to say, by the way. Not hard to say about Tausch. But I've never heard anyone – like, he fills that on Bucks games to call Bucks games play-by-play.
Right.
I've never heard anyone do play-by-play of a cook-off. But I thought he did an outstanding job. And the fact that Bulaga lost when Tausch started the towering inferno, that just, I think that tells you. And again, I didn't realize this, but I heard that you were telling this story on the ride up, that Tausch was kind of tough as a veteran player, that he and Cliffy were, dare I say, bullyish.
No, you know, bullyish or very demanding, you know.
Uh-huh.
they like their things a certain way. They like their coffee a certain way, and if it wasn't right, even if it was right, it gets sent back and go get another one. They liked a certain chewing tobacco, and if it wasn't a full can or if it was only a half can, I need a full one. And
they
I have to go
just
get a full
screwing
one.
Around. So,
but
right?
I had to go get
but
it.
He's got to do it.
But
right.
I had to go get it.
Yes,
yes.
But
so did you do that to Corey Linsley then when he was a rookie in 2014?
Not a chance in the world.
Did you pay it forward by being
a
jerk too?
No, Corey, but he just says, hey, Corey, can I get a can of chew? Yep, here you go. Yeah. Toss it over his shoulder. That would be that.
You're such a better person.
And then, like, and I wasn't a big coffee drinker, so I didn't do any of that. Like, it just wasn't something I did. But no, like, but then you have to remember who was also in that room. Scott Wells was, you know, a little salty.
A little what?
Yeah,
I never heard Scott Wells' stories.
Scott Wells was a little salty. Alan Barber was behind me.
Hold on. What is a little salty?
Uh-huh.
Mad all the time?
He was a little, right. You know.
Well, in fairness to Scott Wells, who now. You when you moved here, you bought Aaron Campman's
house?
Yeah,
he was my neighbor. He was like two
houses
down.
And Scott Wells was in the same neighborhood, right?
Yes, yeah.
So Scott Wells was irascible, but part of the reason was...
Use a word they'd use in Indiana. Angry, always mad, difficult.
No, I don't think so, but here's the thing. He had a big-time chip on his shoulder because he was another one of those seventh-round picks who, okay. When he came in, he deserved a roster spot. They didn't give it to him.
Yep.
Put him on the practice squad, and he was pissed.
All right, so
and
he
played
mad.
With a chip on his shoulder the rest of his career.
But
and it was
some
so
people,
good for him, too.
But some people compete best when they're mad
totally
at everybody.
Agree.
Bill, your favorite.
Bill Schrader.
Bill Schrader
certainly qualifies under that category.
Yes, you have not met him much since. But I can tell you,
he's on the tailgate tour. I somehow managed to not talk to him.
He's much nicer.
Maybe to you.
I think he would be to you.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right, I'm wrong. Fair enough. I can move on. Some guys never forget. You would know that.
I'm an expert in it.
You have a mirror?
I do.
All right, back to Scott Wells. So.
No, but like, you know, it was the room full of like, it was him, then DC, Darren College. Mm-hmm. He could be tough.
Really?
And then Sitton, a young Sitton.
Oh,
and then TJ was in his second year. So, like, it was a pretty rough room if you messed up stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was a veteran room. It was a very veteran room. Like, Jason Spitz. I mean, Spitty was a great guy, but you messed up his food order. He was mad. He wasn't happy about it. So, like, it was.
But I think it speaks to Brian's character that he endured this and then did not pay it forward by being the same way with young players.
Couldn't do it. I mean, well, like, listen, there's always – the normal harassing of rookies, but like not to the point where you're like, go get me another coffee. Like, there's like, come on, like it's a cup of coffee. Like, I put the creamer in there.
Especially now, Tausch drinks it no matter what.
They did it for their own personal amusement.
No doubt.
All right, let's get to the draft this year. I've said we have all our the best picks brought to you by Lakeland University, where your best pick is the future, your future. Customize your degree. On your terms, learn more at lakeland.edu/draft. Whoever came with that idea was fantastic. It's perfect for tonight. All right. Let's talk about anybody you want. Who do you want to talk about?
The level to which you abdicate this segment is incredible to me. Just whatever. You guys do whatever you want. I'm surprised you actually stay for it at least.
Well, there are people here, and I don't want to get them to get the wrong idea.
So, Brian, I said this to you a while back, and I wasn't just blowing sunshine. Like, the Packers are picking 23rd.
Yep.
You were the 23rd overall pick, and I said this, and I still mean it, and I believe your career proves me right. You had no business being on the board still at 23. Is it possible?
His dad would agree.
Well.
It's my dad, so.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not as biased. I covered him as a player. And I had to point out when, you know, guys got the best of him. But yeah. I'm not going to point that out because I've done that too much already.
That's all right.
Bruce Irvin. But here's the thing. It is very rare for a player as good as you to still fall that far. Because you were – take me back to your draft day. Did you think you were top 10, top 15? You were definitely not expecting to still be on the board at 23.
Yeah, we thought probably the latest would be 12 or 13. Like, that's what we thought. We initially thought 9 to Buffalo.
Right.
That was what my agent was hearing very clearly.
Right.
Was 9 to Buffalo, and they took C.J. Spiller. And then we were like,
uh-oh.
Okay, what's going to happen here? And then that's – and it and we fell. And then it was like teams kept trading back in. They took Mikey Iupati. San Francisco did. And
yeah.
So, like, we were kind of like, well, we don't – I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen here. So, yeah, once – we kind of fell out of that top 12, 13. It was like, no idea what's going to happen here now. And that's the way it played out.
Well, and I know having talked to Ted at the time, because back then he actually would sit down with us one-on-one in addition after the draft was over, and I just remember him saying, I can't believe he was there. I mean, I just can't believe he was there. Yep. Just the way he just kept saying. And so the reason I bring it up is that that doesn't happen often, but is it possible that there could be that guy, a guy, doesn't have to be an offensive lineman. Yep. It could be Teteroa McMillan, right, where there's been some folks that I've seen have said, you know, he doesn't like to watch film or this or that. Is that the kind of thing that's enough that a guy that has no business still being on the board comes to Goody? Because let's be honest, given some of these first-round picks who have not either produced right away or not produced as much as you would expect over time as a first-round pick, he could use a guy that has no business being on the board at 23 like you were. And that allows you, because you don't get to take really, really good players in the 20s very often.
Yeah.
It's why Homer has always argued that that's why he took Jordan Love when he did, because he didn't think he was going to get a quarterback of that caliber.
That late. It's,
and you're always picking in the 20s.
Yep. Yeah.
Who's an example, other than Brian Bulaga, who they took because they never thought he would be around that late?
They got back in to get Clay.
So the Clay Matthews story is a little different, though, and Goody loves to tell this story, and it's one of my favorites, is that so back then in 09, it was the year before Brian got here, but they've got John Schneider, who went on to be a GM, John Dorsey, who went on to be a GM, Reggie McKenzie, and I think Scott McLuhan was still here too. And all four of those guys are working the phones because Ted, who had gone to Clay's pro day, wanted to get back into the first round to take Clay Matthews. And Goody tells the story. This is a really good story that he tells, and I'm not going to do it justice. But all the guys, I mean, these are all guys that have futures as GMs. So they know how to drive a bargain, right? They know what they're doing. And they're all the asking prices were too high to get up to 24. They end up trading with the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. And Belichick subsequently tells the great story about what a galactically stupid thing it was to trade away that pick because he should have taken Clay Matthews. But they were all these teams that they were talking to, every one of them was asking for too high of a price. And Ted finally said, it's not about the price. It's about the player. I want the player. And so I think, and I have not gone back and fact-checked this, but Goody told us this story a couple days ago. I think if you looked at the chart, the Packers gave up more than they should have based on the chart to get Clay Matthews. But you don't win the Super Bowl without Clay
Matthews. Ron Wolf should have done the same for Lewis.
Well, and the problem with Lewis is he thought he had him.
Right.
He didn't think he had a trade.
But, I mean,
for
if you think he's that good.
Right.
DeJean?
I'm not ready to say. I know we're in the presence of Iowa royalty. I'm not ready to say that about Cooper DeJean yet. He had a great play in the Super Bowl. He was inconsistent his rookie year. But I'll tell you another guy that would fit that suit, because if you look at kind of the opportunities, there's also reasons why sometimes you miss on a guy because you miss scout him. And the guy, and this was when Brian was playing, is T.J. Watt. And everyone brings it up that they traded back and they missed out on T.J. Watt and then they took Kevin King, right?
Right, but they got two players instead of Watt.
They did. They got Vince Beagle in the fourth round.
Correct.
But the mistake there was not trading back. The mistake there was that they misevaluated T.J. Watt. And they didn't think on their grade board, they did not have a big difference between T.J. Watt and Vince Beagle, who played at Wisconsin with him. And that is a failure of scouting.
Yep.
Because they were not right about that. No.
Right. Yeah. Also a failure of an important part in Homer's scouting bureau, jeans.
Yeah, right. Like, that was another thing that I always thought, too, was that he's J.J. Watt's brother. I think you have to think he's probably got some similar qualities. It was a big whiff. There's no doubt about it.
All right. Hard to believe that we're behind. So the last name you want to leave us, for whatever reason you want.
So what I enjoyed when we did our Q&A with LaFleur was he turned the tables on me. You know, Tausch asked him, well, who are you going to pick? And he turned Jason, who do you think we should pick? And I said, McMillan, the wide receiver. I think that he is special. But I don't think he's going to be there unless he slides. So then LaFleur says, well, what if he's gone? Then I said, Shamar Stewart. Again, I'm smitten with potential. His production's terrible. But I think this guy could be. He fits a Goody. He does. And then LaFleur says, well, what if he's gone? And I'm like, And he said, now you know what it's like to be in the draft room. Because I sit there. I mean, he didn't say the part about him not Goody not caring what he thinks. He said, but I sit there and I see these guys go pick after pick, guys that I like.
Yep.
And you have to keep thinking, okay, who's next on the list? And that's the tough part, too, about picking 23rd, is that not always does a Brian Bulaga fall to you.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Fisco Auto Body, a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. They are so good because they've been doing it that long. And, yes, still in the family. They probably started at 3 or 4 by now. They're fantastic. What you get is good. On Forest Home in Franklin, expert workmanship guarantee for the life of your vehicle. And, yes, I admit you eventually will like me because you listen and go to Fisco. You got an auto body place forever. At a point, you go, well, man, Homer, thanks. See, people think better of me because of Fisco. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. Remember the name. Blue, as Jason Wilde called him. I don't think I've ever called him Blue, and I don't know that I ever will. The doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, next.